land where we're talking about becoming people that are in rhythm and in sync with God. In our culture, it's so easy for us to get caught up in the hustle and want things right when we can have them, right? We're reaching for that instant gratification, but the cool thing with God is as we partner with Him, as we do life with Him, He's in it for the long haul, and He's in it with us through every up and down, through every season. Well, this week specifically, we're talking about the critics that we often listen to. And so we asked a question already for, no, shoot. I need to start over, huh? Because that will not happen in the recording. Right? Are we following? Anybody? Right? Okay, sorry, totally forgot. Okay, cool. Didn't even think about it. It's cool. There's no Anthony. He doesn't exist. All right, here we go. Hello, welcome back to week two of On Demand, where we're exploring what it's like to be in rhythm with God, to not be people who are all about instant gratification and how quickly we can get to some result that we think will give us value. Instead, it's about taking the steps that we can with God. Specifically this week, we're looking at critics, the people in our life who tell us maybe you're not as good as you think you are, who shut us down when we're trying to be in rhythm with God. And it brings up a question for us that I just want you to think about. It's this: what show or movie do you love that critics don't? What show or movie do you love that critics don't? And I'll be honest, I'm a huge movie person. Like, I have AMC Movie Pass, so I'm at a movie a week until quarantine. It's probably the thing I missed most. But for me, critics are the people that I go to find out, is this movie going to be good? And I go in with that presupposition, but the truth is there have been so many movies that have surprised me. For me, the one that is most obvious is Aladdin, the live action. And I know some of you are going to be like, that wasn't really that good of a movie. But for me, it was reminiscent of my childhood, but it was also fun and exciting. And it had Will Smith. And I like any movie Will Smith is in. But the truth is, critics are a voice in what we watch, in how we watch, and in how we engage. But critics are not an accurate picture of a movie or a show. The job of a critic is actually to take apart the movie, to take pieces out and judge an entire story based on that one piece. Critics' job is to watch with an eye that says, this can't be as good as everyone says. Whereas the director watches the whole thing, knows every character, knows every storyline that is being built within. The critic knows the big picture. And I think sometimes when it comes to movies and when it comes to our own life, we forget that critics don't have our best interests at heart. You see, critics limit, and the director dreams. Critics limit what we experience. They squash down what we hope for, and the director dreams, sees the big picture, holds on to a bigger piece of hope. But for a lot of us, we're listening to the critic. And we've been exploring the story of David. And David, last week we learned he's going to be king. King Saul isn't quite doing what God wants him to, and he sends someone to go tell David, hey, you're next up. And in this moment, David's actually a pretty young dude, probably 10 to 13 years old, probably a little bit squirrely, and it makes me wonder what we were like when we were 10. So think about it. What word would you use to describe yourself when you were 10? What word would you use to describe yourself when you were 10? For me, this is easy. I was that kid that had a question about everything, right? When your two-year-old learns the question, okay, but why? I never grew out of that phase. I was like, okay, but why do we do it that way? Why do we think that way? Why do we play this game this way? What if we did it differently? And I was just an inquisitive kid. Who were you before critics God entered into your life? Somewhere around 10 is the last moment that we're excited, that we're zealous, and then at some point these voices come into our life to tell us who we are. So who were you at 10? Who were you before the voices of the critics began to slow you down and tell you who you were supposed to be? For David, he was bold. And like really bold. Even as a young person who's being told he's going to be king, he was ready. He was eager. Because for him, wherever God was, that's where he wanted to be. And so he pursued it with his whole heart. He couldn't wait to get there. And that was something powerful about him. Well, we pick up this story a couple years later. He's still not king. He's still at home doing the normal rhythm, but there's now a war between the Philistines and the Israelites, these two major powerhouses. And he's not able to be a part of this war, but he is able to go check on his brothers. In fact, his three eldest brothers are at the front lines, and his dad says, hey, go get them some food. Go bring them the supplies that they need, and then come home and tell me how they're doing on the front lines. So David does. He goes out to the front lines, and when he gets to the front lines, he hears this guy named Goliath. And Goliath is this monstrosity of a man. He's someone who is built for war. He's been trained for war since he was little, and he comes off the front lines, and he goes, instead of all of us fighting, send your one. Bring on the one. Like, this is LeBron James stepping onto the court and saying, I'll do a one-on-one instead of doing this whole game. Like, this is the guy to beat. And here's this whole army for 40 days going, I think I'm out. I don't think I can take him on. And so David, when he shows up, he hears Goliath giving this ultimatum. He hears him taunting his own God. And David's like, why has no one gone out there yet? That's ridiculous, like, let's go. And so he starts asking questions, and he goes from people group to people group, and all of them are saying the same thing. Hey, like, if you go out there, it's you versus Goliath. And if you win, you get one of the king's daughters, and you and your family don't have to pay taxes. And David's like, that seems pretty sweet. Like, that seems like a fair deal. Like, I'm ready to go. And so he goes, and he's continuing to ask these questions when we meet his first critic. And this first critic is actually his brother. How many of us is it true that our first critic is someone in our own home? As he's going around, he runs into Eliab, who, by the way, was passed up to be king for David. Eliab already has a chip on his shoulder, and it says this. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. Eliab basically looks at his brother and goes, you're just in this for you. You're in it for your own glory. You're in it because you think you're amazing. And this first critical voice starts to rein in and tell him who he thinks he is. David, I know you better than you know you. You're wrong. You're never going to get it. You're in the way. You just think it's all about you and that reward. And I love David's response because he doesn't dignify it. He looks at his brother and in brotherly fashion goes, okay, you know what, I'm just asking questions, I'm just talking to people, and then he literally turns around and walks away. I wonder how many of us have the courage to look at our critic and go, I'm not doing anything wrong, and turn and walk away. And for David, he was this kid at a young age who was bold, and he has a choice now as a critical voice is beginning to enter into his life to either take in the voice of the critic or to continue to live out this boldness. And I wonder for you, that 10-year-old you that is inquisitive, that you that was built for a purpose, I wonder if you also feel that way. Are you ready to back up and go, I got this. I know exactly who I am. Because the truth is, critics are boxing us in. Critics are boxing us in. They're telling us who we are and who we're not. They're trying to define us in a way that they can understand, because Eliab needed to tell his brother, listen, I know you better than you know you. And I'm gonna tell you that you can live in these confines and that's it. You will squish into this box. For me, I remember the first critic for this little inquisitive 10-year-old girl was Hannah. And Hannah was kind of the leader of our friend group, and we were out on the blacktop and we were having some fun playing a game that we made up, and I speak up and I go, hey, what if we just change this rule and try and do it this way? Because I just wondered, I was curious. And Hannah looks at me and she goes, you can either play by our rules or you can sit out till you can. And I remember in that moment, taking a step back and going, oh, I'm not supposed to be inquisitive. And I began to fit in her box for me because critics box us in. And I remember squishing myself to be the definition that she wanted me to be. Her voice was raised in my life and the director's voice was lowered. I wonder if 10-year-old you has been squished into a box. I wonder if 10-year-old you wants to come out and explain to the world, this is who God created me to be. Well, that's not the only critic that David's going to come into contact with. In fact, almost immediately, King Saul begins to hear what's happening. He begins to hear that there's this kid that has some ideas and wants to go fight Goliath. And so he goes to David and he says, so what's going on? And David humbly before him says, I am your humble servant. I'd like to go and take on Goliath, which is crazy to me because David is going to replace King Saul at some point. David knows he's going to replace King Saul. And instead of going in going, I got this because you don't, he humbly comes in and he says, I am your servant. Let me do this. I am built for this. I wonder how many of us look at the people in our lives who have what we think we deserve or we need, and instead of humbly serving, we're bitter and we're hostile and we judge and we point out everybody else's faults instead of taking David's position of humility and saying, okay, I'm here, I can do this. Well, King Saul's criticism becomes loud. He says, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. King Saul, and rightfully so, he's king. He's looking at this small kid who's probably in his late teens at this point, and he's going, you can't fight him? Who do you think you are? Why do you think you have the skill? You're a small child, and Goliath has been preparing for this since before you were born. Who do you think you can be other than this small kid? And again, for a king, that's wise, right? You look at the people in front of you. The problem is critics box us in. Critics tell us who we think we need to be. And they try and squish you into what the world has told you you can be. They try and force you into this small confines that make you shrink yourself instead of exploring what God designed you for. So while King Saul saw a small child, the director, God, knew something bigger. And yet, here it is, another critical voice telling David, no, you're not the one we're looking for. But what I love is David doesn't back down. David's like, I know exactly who God made me to be. I don't fit into your boxes. I don't fit into the rules that your society has told me to fit into. I fit into something bigger. And the reason I know this is because God readied me yesterday for tomorrow. God readied me yesterday for tomorrow. And the truth is, it's true for you too. God readied you yesterday for tomorrow. What David knew is all these things that he's experienced in his youth have helped give him the tools to do what he needs to do today and tomorrow. All of the pain and the struggle and the waiting that he has walked through. His brother mocks him and says, you take care of a few sheep. But what David knew is those few sheep that he took care of back here are helping equip him for this moment. And so when he's looking at King Saul in the eyes, he's not afraid to say, I've got this because God's already done incredible things. He says this, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. For when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. I love this. David's face to face with a critic, and instead of squishing himself into the box that he doesn't actually fit into, he goes, I've got this because God's already taught me. That season where I was hanging out with sheep, God was actually equipping me for this moment. For some of you right now, especially those of you who are in school. You're in a season where you're taking care of sheep. Don't underestimate that season. For some of you who are in high school and you wish you were beyond that, you wish you were an adult, don't underestimate what God is building in you right now, because what David teaches us is the things we've walked through are what are going to help us respond tomorrow and the next day. God's giving you the tools. For some of us, God's already given us the tools that we need to face this season in our life. And so King Saul says, okay, fine, go for it. And he says, but at least wear my armor. Well, King Saul's a head taller than anyone else. It didn't fit him. It didn't feel right. David knew, this is not what I was built for. I was built to worship differently. I was built to serve differently. I was built to do it the way God built me. So he takes all the armor off, and he goes and he gets some stones, because in his world, it's always been about a slingshot, right? Those stones that seem like nothing for him were how God had given him the tools to succeed. And I wonder for us, if there are parts of us that others have boxed us in, and if it's time for us to recognize that I wasn't built for a box, God built me to be me. How do we lower the voice of the critics and increase the voice of the director? How do we lower the voice of those who are telling us how we should do things in order to increase the voice of the one who knows how we can do things? For me, at my first church in Southern California, I was doing ministry. I was in student ministry. I was going to school full time. And it was an amazing time where I was just overwhelmed with joy. Everything was an opportunity to try something new. I got to hang out with students in a way that I'd never done before. I got to write curriculum. I got to teach. I got to do all the things I love. But the leader of that church saw me and quickly boxed me in. Like David, I was young, but more than that, I was a woman. I am a woman. And yet, he boxed me into his understanding of what a woman is supposed to be. And so he told me no to some of the things that I was built for. I was built to teach, and he said, no. I was built to share the Bible with students, and he said, no, your job is to do what I understand women are supposed to do. And again, for a season, I let that box build around me, but I can confidently say now, I wasn't built for that box. I was built to break out of that box and to live the life God has for me. God has given me the tools, all the experiences that I have from my youth, from the past several decades, has built me to this moment. And regardless of what the world says about me, I was built to fight. And so were you. My question for you is, how had God been getting you ready for the season you're in today? We're in a weird season. We can't deny that. How has God been preparing you along the way? For me, it's been helping me break loose of those boxes. Those boxes that tell me that I am not supposed to be inquisitive. Those boxes that tell me that I'm not enough. I broke out of them in order to live in this season and to ask questions. What if church doesn't look like what it used to? What if there's no building? Pretty soon, that inquisitive nature is not just a curse in the groups of friends that I have, but it's now a gift that helps me prepare for tomorrow. How has God been working in you? For David, he was bold. He wasn't afraid to be bold. He wasn't afraid to stand up to his brother. He wasn't afraid to stand up to a king, because God had already done all the work to get him to this point. He had silenced the voice of his critics and increased the voice of the director who had always been with him. So when he goes onto the battlefield and he looks across the way at this gargantuan human being, he looks at him and he goes, "You are nothing." He doesn't even call him by his name. He calls him the Philistine, because he knows he is nothing compared to what God can do. So Goliath steps onto the field, and he, just like all the other critics, goes, "Who are you to come against me? Who are you to think that you have something that can take me out? Look at me." And David looks at him, and he says to him, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." He looks at Goliath and he goes, "My God's bigger. My God is going to get me there. All the things the world tells me I'm supposed to be, all the things that you have told me I'm supposed to be, all the things Saul told me I'm supposed to be, all of these voices of critics are nothing compared to what God can do when I step out of these boxes and I'm unleashed to live out the dream that the director has for me. Because critics limit, but the director dreams. The director has something for us to live out." I don't know where you're at, but maybe in this season you've taken a step back and you've gone, I have nothing, I can't do this, this isn't for me, someone else can do it, and you've got back into those boxes that have been told to you since you were 10, those boxes that have limited you, those boxes that have told you, you can't do it. It's time to break free. It's time to look at a God who's already gotten us to this point, who has already given us the tools to succeed, who has already equipped us for this moment. It is time to say, "Bring it on." Just like David when he put those stones in the sling and he whips it over his head and launches it. And he hits Goliath in the head and Goliath falls flat on his face, almost as if he's saying, "I bow to your God because he is bigger." David wins. We win because we have a God who knows you, wants you, desires to be with you, and has built you for something bigger than the boxes the critics have put you in. So in this season, let's limit the voice of the critic and let's raise the volume for the voice of the director, and then watch what God can do through you. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much that you are a God who isn't limited by the voice of man, but you fall in line with big dreams, big passion, boldness, heart, zeal. God, thank you that you have wired us and built us for something bigger, that we are not limited to what others have said, but we are unleashed by what you have for us. God, thank you for being a big God who wants big things for us. Help us trust you in this season. In your name we pray. Amen.